Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Elbit Systems' first quarter 2017 results conference call. All participants are at present in listen-only mode. Following management's formal presentation, instructions will be given for the question and answer session. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. You should have all received by now the company's press release. If you have not received it, please contact Elbit's Investor Relations team at GK Investor and Public Relations at 1-646-688-3559, or view it in the news section of the company's website, www.elbitsystems.com. I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Ehud Helft of GK Investor Relations. Ehud, please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good day to everybody. On behalf of all the investors, I would like to thank Elbit Systems management for hosting this call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Butzi Machlis, Elbit President and CEO, and Mr. Yossi Gaspar, Elbit Chief Financial Officer. Yossi will begin by providing a discussion of the financial results of the first quarter of 2017, followed by Butzi, who will talk about some of the significant events during the quarter and beyond. We will then turn the call to the question and answer session. Before we begin, I would like to point out the safe harbor statement in the company's press release issued earlier today also refers to the contents of this conference call. With that, I would now like to turn over the call to Yossi. Yossi, please.
Thank you, Ehud. Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. As we do every quarter, we will provide you with both our regular GAAP financial data as well as certain supplemental non-GAAP information. You can find all the detailed information and the reconciliation in today's press release. Overall, we are pleased with our performance in the first quarter, in particular with the growth in revenues and the continued positive trend in backlog. I will now discuss some of the key figures and trends. Our first quarter of 2017 revenues were $749.2 million, an increase of approximately 4% compared with $721.2 million reported in the first quarter of 2016. In terms of revenue breakdown across our areas of operation in the quarter, Airborne Systems was 39%, C4ISR was 37%, Land Systems was 11%, Electro-Optics 10%, and the rest was 3%. Compared with the first quarter last year, Land System revenue were lower, mainly due to higher than usual level of Asia-Pacific sales of Land Systems last year due to the completion of a tank fire control system program to this area. C4ISR revenues were higher this quarter, mainly as a result of radio and communication systems sold to European and Israeli customers. In terms of geographic breakdown for the quarter, North America was 26% of our revenues, Europe was 22%, Asia-Pacific was 22%, Israel was 22%, Latin America 5%, and the rest of the world was 3%. Compared with the first quarter last year, we saw increased contribution from Europe primarily, as well as Israel, and lower contribution from Asia-Pacific and Latin America. For the first quarter, the non-GAAP gross margin was 30.3% versus 30.5% in the first quarter of 2016. Our GAAP gross margin was 29.5% versus 29.4% last year. The first quarter non-GAAP operating income was $65.5 million or 8.7% of revenues, compared with $66.9 million or 9.3% of revenues last year. GAAP operating income was $58.2 million or 7.8% of revenues versus $63.3 million or 8.8% of revenues last year. I note that in the first quarter of last year, we had one-time $7 million in accounting income from increase in value of a subsidiary due to gain from revaluation of an investment in our commercial spin-off. In terms of our expenses for the quarter, total operating expenses were 21.7% of revenues compared with 20.7% of revenues in the first quarter of last year. The breakdown was in research and development, 7.8% of revenues, the same essentially as last year. Marketing and selling expenses at 8.8% of revenues versus 8.5% last year, and G&A expenses at 5.2% of revenues versus 5.4% last year. We view both our R&D and marketing and selling expenses together as an investment in our future, and we have increased their total amount to about 16% of revenues in order to capitalize on the increased opportunities we are currently pursuing in many of our markets. Financial expenses for the first quarter of 2017 were $8.6 million, compared with financial expenses of $1.7 million the first quarter of last year. Last year, we had lower than typical financial expenses due to gain from various currencies exchanges rate differences. I also note that in the first quarter of last year, we recorded a $3.9 million capital gain in the other income line related to the sale of real estate, while in the current quarter, other income was essentially zero. For the first quarter, non-GAAP net income was $51.7 million, or a net margin of 6.9%, versus $51.2 million, or a net margin of 7.1% last year. Non-GAAP diluted earnings per share were $1.21, compared with $1.20 last year. On a GAAP basis, first quarter net income was $45.9 million, or a net margin of 6.1%, versus $52.3 million, or net margin of 7.3% last year. GAAP diluted earnings per share were $1.07, compared with $1.22 last year, which included earnings per share of $0.26 related to the gain from reevaluation of investment and the sale of real estate. Our backlog of orders as of March 31, 2017, was $7.07 billion, $292 million higher than the backlog at the end of the first quarter of last year. Approximately 64% of the current backlog is scheduled to be performed during 2017 and 2018. This figure is at a similar proportion of the backlog scheduled to be performed in the upcoming 2 years compared to that at the same time last year. Operating cash flow for the quarter was -$51 million, compared with a positive cash flow of $24 million in the same quarter of last year. The board of directors declared a dividend of $0.44 per share for the first quarter of 2017. That ends my summary and shall now turn over the call to Mr. Machlis. Butzi, please go ahead.
Thank you, Yossi. Our first quarter results represent a good start to 2017, with continued growth in backlog as well as in revenue. Our backlog crossed the $7 billion mark for the first time, standing at around 4% ahead of where it was at this time last year. Backlog has grown continuously for the past few years, which feeds into our solid and steady ongoing growth in revenue over the long term. In today's geopolitical environment, we are seeing a trend of increasing defense spending in many of our target markets, particularly in the electronic defense field. We have therefore, this quarter, stepped up the level of our investment in marketing and R&D in order to capitalize on the increasing opportunities. I would like to highlight some of our recent successes. In Brazil, we were awarded a 2-year, $40 million contract for Brazil's Marine Corps for the supply of advanced C4I electronic warfare radio and communication systems. The system will be deployed in fixed and deployed command centers and in armed personnel carriers and dismounted configurations. We believe they will significantly enhance the Marine Force operational effectiveness with our C4I systems that are based on decades of operational use and combat proven by many of our customers worldwide. Also, within the C4I area, we received an order for satellite on-the-move systems from the Israeli Ministry of Defense. The system allow high data rate broadband capabilities to be available to land vehicles on the move anywhere, anytime, based on utilizing various communication satellites. In March, we received a $100 million 5-year contract from the Israeli MOD for advanced radio systems, a portion of which will be subject to U.S. foreign military funding. We also expect to receive an additional order for maintenance services for a period of 15 years. We will provide the Israel Defense Forces with handheld, vehicle-mounted, and airborne third-generation software-defined radio, enabling advanced network services at high security levels. In March, we received an $80 million 4-year follow-on order from an Asia-Pacific country for comprehensive electro-optic airborne solution for use in intelligence, surveillance, target acquisition, and reconnaissance missions. This follow-on contract attests to this customer's satisfaction with the quality of the previous solutions we have provided them, which are well suited for the global intelligence needs. We see an ongoing growing global demand for ISTAR solutions. In April, we were awarded an IDIQ contract for approximately $50 million by the U.S. Navy to provide the helmet display and tracker system with continuously computed impact point algorithms for the MH-60S helicopter. The work will be performed in Fort Worth, Texas, and is expected to be completed in 2021. An initial order of approximately $14.2 million was received. This award represents the Navy's first production order for the line-of-sight helmet tracking system and the integration of targeting symbology in the armed helicopter weapon system for the MH-60 fleet. Overall, as you can see, we continue to win businesses which add to our backlog, and based on such backlog growth, we expect our solid performance to continue through 2017. As we have shown throughout our history, our continued successes is a function of our continuing to invest in the right areas in the defense and security arenas, targeting the right customers and meeting their needs. Looking ahead, in many of our target markets, defense spending is on the rise, and an increased portion is geared towards the electric defense field. Our businesses is well positioned to capitalize on the trend. We remain well diversified with broad spectrum of technologies and products, with sales into many countries and regions. And with that, I will be happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are using speaker equipment, kindly lift the handset before pressing the numbers. Your questions will be pulled in the order they are received. Please stand by while we pull for your questions. The first question is from Yoav Bergen of Pauline Sahar. Please go ahead.
Hi. I just have one question on your new SOLTAM Atmos artillery system for the IDF. I would just like to fully understand, how do you consider the current status of this project? And at what point will you start including it within your firm backlog? Thank you.
We see large demand for advanced artillery solution all over the world. And such a need exists also here in Israel in the IDF. We have advanced third generation autonomous artillery solution by the name of Atmos, and we understand that there is an interest by the IDF to acquire this system. We are in negotiation with the, you know that the Ministry of Defense is taking a decision to acquire such a system from us after evaluating additional possibilities in the market, and we are right now discussing with them, negotiating with them a contract. We don't yet have a contract, When we will have a contract, of course, we will report it, and then when we will start to sell, you will see it in the numbers. We all understand that it's a strategic move for the IDF. Of course, it's a strategic move for Elbit as well, and we see a big potential for Elbit in this domain in Israel as well as in other countries. And I must say that we have a lot of success recently selling such products all over the world.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Ella Fried of Montgomery. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and congratulations on the backlog. I have two questions. The first one is, did you make any additional acquisitions, even of a smaller scale, in the first quarter? And the second is, could you go into more detail on the operational cash flow?
Hi, Ella. This is Yossi. Regarding acquisitions, we had during the quarter some very small acquisitions made, one here in Israel and more technology-oriented, and one overseas in Latin America. Very small, but according to our strategy, as we always explain, that complement our offerings technologically or better additional access to markets. All they're not material to be reported and they are small, but we definitely believe that they have a very good potential to grow our business in the future. Regarding the cash flow this quarter was negative as we reported. A quarterly cash flow in our business is not very representative of overall yearly numbers. As we have shown for many years, we generate the cash that is approximately at the profit level or higher. We did it very nicely last year and the year before that, which even higher than higher cash. The lower cash this quarter was a result of increased payment to our suppliers, and some reduced payments from our customers, including some growth in the inventory, which of course is prepared to be delivered in the following quarters. We expect cash flow to turn definitely positive towards the following quarters.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Lena Rogovin of Chardan Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a couple of questions on the results and the follow-up question on Atmos contract. My first question is, there is a significant increase in revenue from other regions. Is there something specific and there is a new important region emerging for Elbit business? And the second question is on dividends. There is an increase in quarterly dividend. Should we expect the same payments in the coming quarters later this year? And I'll get back to the follow-up question after. Thank you.
Regarding the other regions, we categorize in the other regions territories that are not included in the prime regions that we define specifically. And one major one is, of course, Africa, various countries in Africa. So we have seen, due to our increased marketing efforts in this continent, we start seeing the revenues coming in. That is for other regions. The dividends, we don't have a defined and declared policy by our board of directors. However, if we look back at the history of the company, we do pay out every quarter dividends at the rate of about approximately 30% of our net income. And this is the case right now as well. As you probably have noticed in the last quarter last year, in 2016, fourth quarter, we raised the dividend significantly to 10% actually, we increased that to 44 cents per share. We did pay out, we are going to pay out 44 cents this quarter as well. And looking forward, I would not make any prophecies, but looking based on history, that's probably what's going to happen in the future as well.
Okay, thank you. And to clarify on Atmos, so is the Minister of Defense decision to select Elbit as a supplier is final? And what's the risk for them to review their decision? And could you please confirm that the size of the contract is $1.5 billion, as it was stated in the local press?
As I mentioned earlier, a decision was made to acquire such systems from us after evaluating the different possibilities in the market. We are right now negotiating the program with them, the contract with them, and it's too early to tell what will be the size of the contract. It probably won't be a one-year contract, it will be a multi-year contract. And of course, when this dialogue will be concluded, we'll report it to the market. Of course, it's a big program. It will be, I hope it will be, I believe it will be a big program for us. But we don't have it yet. It's still under negotiation, and I hope it will happen soon.
Thank you.
The next question is from Michael Klar of Citibank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions. Firstly, you made a remark in your comments about the high sales and marketing efforts to take advantage of opportunities. Could you give us a bit of color around this? Is it around new products, new geographies, making changes in existing geographies? And related, could you tell us about that item going forward? Is it one time in nature? That's the first question. Thanks.
We see many opportunities for us, mainly in North America, as well as in Europe and in Asia Pacific. That's the reason for us to take the decision to invest more in R&D and in marketing. I believe that this level of investment will be required for the future. I don't expect a higher investment in the future, and I believe this investment will help us to capitalize all the opportunities that we are seeing ahead of us. We see many opportunities actually all over for most of the portfolio all over the world. We see opportunities in C4I systems, and we see opportunities for cyber. We see opportunities in the homeland security domain. And we also see many opportunities for protection suites for aircraft, or DIRCAM and EW solutions. So we see more opportunities for the company. That's the reason for increase for the level of investment in R&D and marketing. But I believe that's a sufficient investment. I don't see us investing more than that in the future.
Okay, thank you. I just want to ask about the CyberBit acquisition from 18 months ago. And there were some earnouts related to that. Have any of those been paid, or do you expect them to be paid?
Well, right now, the forecast for the performance of the business and the actual performance of the business is according to the plan that we have anticipated. We are optimistic on that at this point in time, and we'll see how it develops over this year and early next year, and then of course based on that we'll decide on the earnout amount.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
The next question is from David Winters of Wintergreen Advisors. Please go ahead.
Really two questions. First of all, could you just touch on how you protect your intellectual property, because it's the core of the business? And then secondly, with this massive cyber attack that's happened globally, I mean, if you could just touch generally on the opportunity for your cyber protection business. Thank you very much, and thanks for doing such a good job.
Okay, regarding the IP, I'll try to answer that. We have definitely an internal process in the whole company over all the subsidiaries that we follow, which relates to recording the IP as generated, which relates to patents that we apply for, and also relates to making sure that our IP is used properly by our companies and is not used, actually is not infringed by third parties. From time to time, we do provide licenses to manufacturers of parts of our systems. Under those license agreements, things are very well defined. We actually follow processes that are very known in the US and European companies. So that is the way we do it. Actually, it is run, the whole IP process and control is run by our company secretary and by our executive vice president for R&D. These are the two responsible figures that manage the whole thing. In their organizations, we have specific people that take care of various aspects of managing the IP.
With regards to cybersecurity, we have two lines of business. The first one deals with integrated protection suites, which we provide for big organizations and for governments based on a solution we are providing here for the Israeli Ministry of Defense in Israel. That's one line of business that we have. We can take sensitive IT network and protect it A to Z. The second line of business deals mainly with the commercial market. There we provide products, different products to the market. We have very advanced training systems. Some of them were sold in the US, in Maryland, as well as all over Europe, in Japan, in Korea. We have also SCADA protection solutions to protect the SCADA networks, such as utility and gas and oil networks. And we also have solutions, products to protect IT, private IT networks for banks, for insurance companies, and for businesses. So one end of business deals with enhanced integrated suite, and the other end of business deals with products. Both of them are very successful. The business is growing. We see many opportunities, and one of the reasons for the increase in marketing is because we invest more in marketing efforts in this area.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
If there are any additional questions, please press star 1. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. Please stand by while we poll for more questions. There's a follow-up question from Ella Fried. Please go ahead.
Hi. Just a few days ago, a parliamentary committee approved the first part of a relief package for defense experts. I wonder, does it have any tangible influence on your business?
Which committee?
A Knesset committee approved the first part of a relief package for defense experts.
Oh, for export?
For defense export.
Yes. No, I don't see any effect on the company. On the contrary, we of course we comply with all the regulations, and I believe that the relief they give will simplify the process and will help us in our marketing and export efforts. So I see. I believe that this the decision which was made 2 days ago is in the right direction, and it will help us to simplify all the processes prior to the export efforts.
Okay, thank you again.
There are no further questions at this time. Before I ask Mr. Machlis to go ahead with his closing statements, I would like to remind participants that a replay of this call will be available 2 hours after the conference ends. In the U.S., please call 1-888-326-9310. In Israel, please call 03-925-5904. And internationally, please call 972-3-925-5904. A replay of the call will also be available at the company's website, www.elbitsystems.com. Mr. Machlis, would you like to make your concluding statement?
I would like to thank all our employees for their continued hard work. To everyone on the call, thank you for joining us today and for your continued support and interest in our company. Have a good day and goodbye.
Thank you. This concludes the Elbit Systems Limited First Quarter 2017 Results Conference Call. Thank you for your participation. You may go ahead and disconnect.